Hi everyone, and welcome to The Human Behind the Screen. And I'm your host, Shauna Morin. The ways in which we work and scale workforces are changing. No longer are we reliant on physical locations in order to operate as a business or a team. And this shift in building teams and companies is coming rapidly, and businesses are being forced to adapt to what they've always done for years. But what does this mean for the humans behind the screen? How do we bring back that human connection when we primarily work online? In this podcast, we'll be speaking to leaders and experts all over the world to dissect what makes businesses successful at remote working. We'll be discussing the importance of human connection, emotional intelligence, and relationships in an ever-changing virtual world. Ahead of getting into today's episode, I just want to say that I get it. We have a lot of new listeners to The Human Behind the Screen, and you're very welcome. But these are new leaders that have transitioned their teams to be fully remote over the last couple of weeks and months. And they've never worked remotely before, let alone tried to engage their teams throughout the midst of a global pandemic. So they're feeling stressed, they're feeling overwhelmed by their constant effort to engage their team, but productivity isn't improving, and they're left feeling frazzled. Does that resonate with any of you? Let me tell you, it doesn't have to be like this. What if you were able to create a team culture that was empowered to best manage themselves, hold each other accountable to optimism, focus, and resilience? What if your team could find their own strategies that enabled them to manage their responsibilities effectively in a way that best suited them? And what if you, as a leader, felt rejuvenated, revitalized, and confident in translating your skills into your remote team? What if you started to love your job again as a leader, and you were excited as opposed to being frustrated at the opportunities that remote working can bring? If this has resonated with you and you need help, if you want to turn a corner and stop wasting time, then head on over to www.operateremote.com, and the first button you see will allow you to book a free 30-minute strategy call with me. Let me share some insights, let me pull you out of that hole, and let's get working on remote together. And today's guest feeds nicely into that conversation, because Benjamin Crudo, who is the founder and CEO of Diff Agency, again has transitioned his team to be fully remote. He has over 100 plus employees, 3 offices worldwide, and is one of the world's top Shopify partners. Diff takes full service approach to e-commerce planning, design, building, integrating, optimizing e-commerce products in order to drive success online. I really enjoyed my conversation with Ben. Not only was he open about his experiences and challenges in transitioning his team remotely, but he also spoke about what it takes to create an award-winning culture, even in an online environment. There's lots of insights in here. There's lots to unpack. And overall, it's a fantastic conversation on leadership. I hope you enjoy. Okay, great. So Ben, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And where in the world are you right now?
I'm in my hometown of Montreal, hunker down.
Oh, love Canada. You know, I've never actually, I've gone to a lot of places in Canada, but never Montreal. I'm missing out though.
You've been to Waterloo?
Yes, I've been to Ottawa, Toronto. Yeah, I'm a big Canada fan. It's a great country, great people, very like the Irish.
Absolutely.
Very friendly.
Joie de vie.
So tell me, how are things going for you through all of this change and uncertainty?
I've been going well. I mean, thankfully, I feel like we're in a state now where it's either feast or famine for businesses, and we're kind of supporting merchants with their online properties. So unfortunately, in the world of physical distancing, the brick and mortar shops are taking a back seat, and they need to quickly redirect their attention to their online channels, which plays nicely with us since we're experts in e-commerce.
E-commerce, remote working, absolutely. And I think they go hand in hand as well for e-commerce businesses. And I'm interested in hearing about your remote working experiences, but also your take on leadership. Because I've followed you for quite a while around your blog posts, around your thought leadership, around human-focused teams, especially in the tech world. So I want to pick your brains on that today. But first of all, why is human-focused teams and human-focused leadership important, in your opinion?
Well, as I passed through my engineering background and degree, started working with computers more and more, I realized that they were really, really good at following instructions. And the bigger problem is figuring out what to tell the computers to do. And in order to do that, you need to go through human beings. And so I just quickly developed a fascination with what it takes in order to communicate effectively with others, and understood that a clear mutual understanding amongst the human beings was going to lead to the desired outcomes in the software. So,
brilliant. And how do you bring that into your experience in running a diff agency with over 100 employees, right?
Yeah. So it's good. I mean, it's a tough line to walk, trying to be sensitive all the time to, you know, the different folks around you, just because everybody has all of these, you know, different backgrounds and cultures. And it's really much harder to understand how to communicate effectively with a diverse mix of people. So as the company has gotten bigger, certainly I think I've had a heightened sense of awareness around the importance of clear communication with people and being able to get them to be as comfortable as you are to share their ideas. So we've taken a pretty direct approach at calling out the importance of that in our company and really bringing that awareness to everybody around us and trying to build skills intentionally to promote better human interactions, both internally and with our customers.
Yeah, it's twofold, right? As you said, internal and external. But what are those skills? Like, because I feel what we try to do on this podcast is really tap into what those skills are. And for some leaders, it comes quite naturally. For some leaders, they really struggle with that. But if you were to summarize those key skills or characteristics that can help a leader, especially a busy leader like you, tune into the sensitivity of others and bring about that awareness on a company level, what would you say those skills or characteristics are?
Well, you know, definitely, I mean, you know, this word gets tossed around a lot, like empathy and compassion, and it's very, very important, and, you know, don't mean to diminish it. I think in practical terms, though, something that everybody can kind of understand and start applying right away is learning the art of asking questions. When you're in a conversation with somebody, if you are going out of your way to engage them and ask them as many questions as possible, that is going to enable you to learn as much as you possibly can from whoever it is that you're speaking to. And when you get really good at asking questions, I think you learn how to say things to people without needing to mention it directly. And so even if there is a point that you really would like to get across and make sure that it is firmly understood, you can simply say it to people and hope that it lands, or you can help them kind of come to the same realization as you through their own thought process. And it's a whole different way of talking to people that probably is more similar to what you're doing to me throughout the course of this conversation than what we might think of in a typical business context.
Mm. Yeah, it sounds to me like coaching style in your leadership, you know, or it's very similar to that. You know, it's asking the right questions. And as you said, getting people to think in new perspectives, in ways that they haven't before. And what I really liked about what you just said is that you can learn something else from others when you listen and ask questions. And I admire that, because you're in the mindset of understanding that even as CEO, even as leader, you don't necessarily know it all. You can still learn from the people on your team, right? Like, they're going to come with ideas and new concepts that maybe you haven't thought of. And that's amazing, because when you believe that, you'll ask the right questions and you'll spur people on to be the best potential that they can, right?
I agree. And I think it also forces you into the position of being mindful of the fact that, you know, there could be an answer that you might get to this question that you're asking, which you didn't expect. And more often than not, we're going to find out that the responses that we get are not that which we expected exactly. And that's where all of the great granules of value are found, in the people that we engage with. That's how we keep learning and improving ourselves. And it's a much more fun conversation style to have with somebody than to just sit there telling them things and, you know, sort of somebody feeling potentially subjugated within the conversation. So it's a collaborative way to engage.
What do you think holds leaders back from engaging in that way with their teams? In your experience, from speaking to other leaders that maybe don't have that approach, what do you think holds them back?
Yeah, it's a tough one. You know, I think, I'm kind of laughing because I feel like it's most often the skills that I expected your parents to teach you that I'm really trying to kind of get out of people. And I think that it's when you have a lot of these kind of social interaction skills baked into who you are that, you know, you've probably had for a long time, it's a great complement to any technical skill set that you may have. And if you, you know, are not overly sensitive to how you're being received by others, then I can only imagine a lot of the conversations are going to be quite matter of fact. And if you're mathematically precise in stating outcomes that you're looking for, then a very transactional type of conversation style may work for you. But I've found that there's a lot more gray areas, especially as you're elevated throughout management and have less direct visibility on the field, that necessitate a sort of longer form conversation style. And I think that's benefited by one where questions are asked more than directives being given.
Love it. You mentioned something there, Ben, you know, if you're sensitive to how you're being received by others. One question that I get asked a lot is, how do I, as a leader, get genuine feedback on how I'm being received by others?
That's what keeps me up at night. It's really, really hard to be confident that whatever is being told to you is the absolute and honest truth, especially if you're sort of in a, you know, position where you're viewed as a superior and talking to somebody else on the team. I mean, you know that there are so many motives at play in that dynamic, and whoever's, you know, sort of under you wants to be seen as competent and doing a good job and supporting. They don't want to take too many chances, maybe looking stupid, and so they're going to be muting themselves potentially and are inclined to tell you what you want to hear. Frankly, I don't think that there's anything that we can really do as leaders to change the fact that those dynamics are at play. I think we need to be cognizant of them. We can even gently comment on them and go, and we should go out of our way to encourage people to seek out conversations with us and, you know, tell us how they really feel in confidence, and just be really consistent about saying that. And at first, people won't believe you. But over time, if they hear a consistent message and if they hear stories about other people who have had good interactions with you in confidence, I think that will help them bridge that gap towards trust.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's some great insights there. How do you, outside of feedback, Ben, how do you measure? I suppose we can't really measure, but what are the things that are important for you to look at when you're looking at, okay, how effective have I been as a leader today or this week? Like, what are the things that are important to you within your team?
I think that I personally have noticed that there's more cohesion amongst the team when we're communicating effectively with each other, that there's less back channel chatter, and our work suddenly starts to feel and becomes more complementary to one another. So it's really, I think, quite a stark difference, actually, that you can see in the way that everybody treats each other and you. And when our goals are intertwined, when we're having the right meetings with each other to engage each other at the right moments, so that we've consulted you and informed you and are paying respect to whoever might be responsible for something, our different agendas suddenly meld into a singular one. And for any company, I think that's one of the hardest things that we need to do, is unify our departments that we've all created, because for efficiency purposes, an argument could be made that it's sort of better to take some tasks and break them into, you know, these sort of chunks of the company that can manage them well. But we need to never forget that all of these things need to be pulled back together, and clients don't experience our services or our products one piece at a time. They experience the whole thing together. And you can get pretty far by having disparate parts that each function sort of well autonomously. But imagine if, you know, everybody was working together a little bit more. I think depending on whatever type of business you're in, you would start to see efficiencies in productivity or production or what have you.
Fantastic. What is really fascinating is I read DIFF has been listed as Canada's best places to work 3 years running. I mean, first of all, congratulations. That's so impressive. But I'm interested in the story of DIFF and how that culture was created, how it's transformed, you know, starting from you to scaling to 100 plus employees in 3 different offices. What was important, and how have you found culture has changed over the years, even if culture has changed because of recent times and changes?
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think what's unique about my founder story and what grounds me in people is that I was kind of in the workforce working as a retailer for a number of years. And then I kind of went back to school since I was so enamored with computers and pursued a software engineering degree. So I was a bit older than my classmates. And through the experience of, you know, just going back, studying, humbling myself, realizing I don't know everything, and, you know, working with the people around me, I developed great friendships and bonds with those guys. And as school kind of came to an end and my commercial ambition sort of picked up, I found myself, you know, sort of working in the Shopify ecosystem and pretty quickly needing help. And my first instinct was to reach out to all the guys that I was in class with, because I knew that they were the folks who I was cheating off of to, you know, get my homework notes tidied up or to help study for a test. And I just had so much respect for the capability of all of those around me. And I felt genuinely lucky, and still do, that people with so much potential and skill and capability decided to kind of give their time to me and the organization's cause. And so being cognizant of the fact that, like, it was my own shortcomings which necessitated the need for other people to be involved, I think kept me really, really humble and continues to. So that's a message that I sort of am reminded of all the time, and I try and keep front and center. My goal is not to have any hierarchy in the company for the purposes of subjugating others. If anything, it's maybe just to streamline communication lines and hand out directives. But I don't look at the company and see people that are more capable or less capable than others and have that sort of dynamic be coming into the play. I think we all have our own talents. We all man our own squares, if you will, and need to kind of, you know, just focus on being a solid team. And so as that relates to today, I mean, the dynamic where, you know, we had an office, we still do, but it's empty. And it was great to be able to have all the people around, get into a meeting room and, you know, look into each other's eyes, see how each other are sort of looking or feeling that day. And that visceral part of communication and of having the proximity to others to keep each other informed about where we are on the field at all times is gone. And we have to quickly find new ways now to communicate. And I think there are some real dangers, frankly, that, you know, this environment has introduced, certainly for people that are very introverted and don't necessarily seek out social interaction. I think now more than ever, we realize how social we all are. And we have to go out of our way, I think, to make sure that these people are feeling, you know, kind of cared for and included. It's pretty easy to develop a sense of detachment from the world when you're just sitting at home all day and not realize that the work that you're doing at your kitchen table or whatever is actually contributing to a larger world out there, and you're an important piece of it.
Hmm. What's worked well for you guys over the last couple of weeks during that transition?
Well, thankfully, we've always had a pretty flexible work from home policy at the company. So systems wise, we've been really, really well set up with everything to be able to do the transition. We're also consultants. We do work for hire. So we're naturally very used to keeping track of our time since that's you know, how we bill people. So I feel really lucky that we've been able to sort of leave the office, but through all of the different tools that we use, like, you know, Slack to communicate internally, or as opposed to email, having our video chats on our Google Hangouts or Zoom meetings. We used, you know, Jira for project management and task management skills, and, you know, Trello in some cases as well. So there's a whole host, I think, of, you know, flavors of, you know, tools like task management, team collaboration, communication tools that we're using to kind of get by. And of course, file sharing is a big one as well. Literally bringing us all on the same page.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of people have, I guess, the tools, a lot of companies that have transitioned, they have the tools in place now. But as you were kind of saying, it's really about building that sense of team remotely. And it's translating that company culture across the computer screens, which is a huge challenge because, you know, those sort of things aren't included in, you know, the top 10 tips on how to work remotely. It has to be authentic to your company. But it sounds like you guys are in a better position because you had remote friendly policies anyway, right? So it sounds like it's been a little bit easier. But what kind of skills, I mean, I know you speak a lot about compassion. You spoke there about, you know, taking, I guess, mutual responsibility for checking in with each other and being deliberate about social interactions. What other skills have been important for you and for the team to rally together during this time?
Well, I think that I'm seeing, you know, more and more how organization is quite important in your own work and the way that you're able to present it to other people as well. So, you know, the basics, frankly, of writing. And I think that there is a skill in the way that you present yourself to others and the way that you work with other people. So I think that now it's more important than ever, since other people can't see the work that we're doing as we're doing it. We need to publicize that a little bit. We need to, I think, be good at describing what it is and sharing that with other people. And so I think we need to, in place of these little sidebar conversations you may have between your desks at the end of the day that amount to 30 minutes, you know, it may be more useful now to start to write sort of a report of your activity for the day and share that with other people, being a little bit more deliberate with putting things down on paper, because, you know, it doesn't really feel like the organization at this point exists anywhere except on paper and in these shared documents that we have. That is effectively the institution's knowledge. So we definitely have to go out of our way to write that down.
Do you think if you get this right, Ben, around the remote work and it really starts to work for you guys, it will bring more opportunities for you in terms of scaling as an agency?
I think it's definitely possible. And the more this happens, you know, the more I'm interested, frankly, in seeing if whether we truly need an office. I was always of the opinion that having an office was just a nice way to gather everybody, because I've always felt that, you know, human interaction happens best in person. And so we wanted to create a space where we could promote that. And I think that, it, you know, frankly, it still does happen best in person. But if it's not an option, or if it's not absolutely necessary, then, you know, maybe there's another way. And I think there's tremendous cost savings by, you know, not paying leases. Travel costs go down significantly. The lifestyle benefits, I think, are pretty significant, especially for a lot of people that maybe have, you know, kids or other sort of responsibilities around the house. I mean, cutting your commute out, your life becomes simplified in many ways. So, you know, I've never really, the closest I've ever come to, you know, working from home for an extended period of time, I would liken to kind of an extended business trip where, you know, I might be working from a hotel and trying to telecommute for, you know, 2-3 weeks at a time. But I have to say, I honestly, you know, reconsidering the possibility that half my team may not ever come back to the office again. And, you know, I think I'm probably going to be totally fine with it by the end of this whole crisis.
That's amazing. That's great to hear positivity coming from this experience. And, you know, in my experience, I think it just provides so much opportunity for e-commerce merchants, agencies, partners. The opportunities really are endless, but, you know, it depends on the team, on the company as well. You know, I worked with an agency today actually who weren't remote before this, and didn't ever want to go remote. And today they created a strategy around having remote first processes for their team when this is all over, because their productivity is through the roof. People are happier because they're working flexible hours. And they also need more resource. They need more people that they can't get where their office is based. So it's opened up so many doors for them and for their team. They're happier, they're more engaged. So it's been fantastic. And I think if we can reframe some of these challenges that we had a couple of weeks ago into opportunities, it's fantastic. I read your recent article on Business Insider, I believe, and it was all around leading a young workforce through change and uncertainty. And you mentioned a couple of key points that leaders need to do over the next couple of weeks or months, however long this will go on for. You mentioned a point around prioritizing well-being, around being more blunt, getting to the point, communication, and highlighting teamwork, how important that is when the team are physically dispersed from each other and not in a normal office environment. Talk me through your experiences with those couple of points and what's the most important.
Yeah, leading the team through this, my gosh, with the all of us. I mean, I forget which generation I am, you know, Gen Z or Y, born in the early 80s. But I think we're a different breed. And, you know, we haven't had the same experiences coming to work as our parents. And certainly none of us in our lifetimes have experienced anything like this the way we are now. So it's trying, but, you know, like I'm reminded very quickly, like my company is literally nothing without people. We're consultants. I have no product. My people are my product. So if you're not well and your well-being hasn't been considered first, then there is no possibility that you're going to make any sort of positive contributions to our company, let alone our customers. So we're trying to, you know, at our office, we also had a gym for people, where we encourage them to, you know, try and stay fit and have fun at the same time. We've moved our yoga classes online, so now people can do them sort of remotely. We have our HR team that's kind of been, you know, looking out over everybody, really going above and beyond to communicate them. We've been telling all of our department leaders and the leaders within teams, you know, that they need to make sure that they're checking in on everybody. And I don't want anybody in the company to not be spoken to or chatted with. You know, there's no going dark. I don't think anybody should be left behind. And so we'll certainly need to make sure that we're prioritizing that. Encouraging people also, you know, as you mentioned with the flexible hours, I mean, I think some of us, you know, sort of use that well to our advantage, but it can also become a dark hole. Certainly with programming also, it's such an engaging activity. If you get into the zone, you may realize you haven't gotten up out of your chair for many hours on end. So we're trying to just, you know, make everybody cognizant of the fact that routine is something that could be really, really helpful. And, you know, trying to encourage everybody to keep sort of typical business hours. I think A, because it helps us collaborate, but B, because it'll add structure into their lives if that's possible and if it fits, which they could benefit from as well. I think we've all had the news overload problem at this point, and we've all gotten burnt there. So, you know, trying not to kind of keep that tap of news flowing into you 24/7. I think can also be helpful to create some peace of mind. And, you know, probably one of the biggest things that I do that I think, you know, comforts people is just, you know, being real with them about the situation that's going on, talking to them often about our customers' situations. Obviously, you know, we're in e-commerce, but we're not impervious to any sort of major downturns in the economy. And I'm just totally honest with the people about that, not letting them wonder if I'm just sort of feeding them convenient truths all the while, you know, they're worried if they're going to be sort of laid off at one point in time. So, and that's good advice in general. You know, any hard questions that you feel your team may ask you, you should always be prepared to respond. And if you don't honestly have a response, then you should tell them that and let them know you're working through it. You know, that you're a human being as well, and that they'll give you that slack if you need it.
That's great. The honesty is key. Tell me, how's the yoga classes going online? are people actually doing yoga online together?
Yeah, it's loads of fun. It's great.
Brilliant. Yeah, that sounds great. See, it's rethinking all these activities that we did in person together, right?
I may never leave my house again.
Oh, thanks, Ben. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on today's show. Fun fact question. What is your remote working music playlist at the moment? Is there anything you have on in the background, or are you a music-free remote worker right now?
No, I like music a lot. And frankly, I have been listening to a Muse album.
Nice.
Which is getting me super pumped up. So it's called Simulation Theory. And it's just, it'll get you psyched for the day. And it won't let you get beaten down.
Love it. That's what we need. We all need that. I'm going to definitely check that out tomorrow. Awesome. I do love a bit of Muse. Describe great leadership in three words.
Oh, I would say thoughtful, empathetic, and precise.
Fantastic. Ben, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and sharing your experiences that I'm sure not only agency owners, but tons of other leaders out there, especially those who have transitioned into the remote space recently, will find incredibly useful. I know I thoroughly enjoyed it. So thank you very much. If anybody wants to learn more about you or get in touch or what you guys do over at Diff Agency, where can they go?
I would just say diffagency.com, or you could check me out at LinkedIn, Benjamin Crudo.
I would definitely recommend that. There are some great articles up there around this exact topic. So do check that out. Thanks again, Ben.
Hey, thanks you, Shana.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of The Human Behind the Screen. I hope that you found it beneficial and had lots of key takeaways from today's conversation. Head on over to iTunes and don't forget to subscribe and rate this podcast. If you do have any ideas or would like to advertise on this podcast, you can email us directly at podcast@operateremote.com. If you want to learn even more from this podcast and check out the key themes that came up, you can check out our blog at www.operateremote.com/blog. Thanks for listening and talk soon.